He's giving us some time. He saw that we weren't ready yet. Practicing the Dhamma. We have to be normal and natural. We don't practice to try and look good. We don't have to fool anyone, and we certainly shouldn't fool ourselves about what we're feeling. Don't change it. Let's be brave enough to see what's really there. Don't fake it. Don't put on a mask. This is a path for only brave souls. He pointed someone out and said, "See, you're making your mind too nice and good and still. We're not supposed to pretend to be nice and good and still. Just let it be as it naturally is." You have to let go, let the mind work as it normally does. You're making yourself too prim and proper. We're sitting there wondering, "Oh, when am I going to arrive at Nirvana?" Really, all we end up getting instead of Nirvana when we're able to make the mind still is, "Oh, look at me, I'm good." You know, a bigger ego. He doesn't want me to translate this. It's a case by case thing, and we'll get confused. Whatever there is a mind, there is a feeling. Every mind that arises, or your mind in any given moment, will come up with a mental formation of some kind. Also, a one-pointedness or a concentration occurs with every mind that arises, because the mind is always knowing something. He doesn't mind whatever you've practiced in the past, but let's try to forget what we've done in the past sometime so that we can allow some new understanding to come in. There was a Zen master story, a Zen story, that had a cup, an empty cup, and had a student pour his tea. He never told the student to stop pouring in this drink. He just kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and the tea was spilling out. One of the students said, "Master, Master, your tea is spilling over." He says, "That's just like your mind," the master said. "No room for anything new, just thinking the same old things. Whatever you do, go back and do whatever it is that you remember to do. And just cycle around all your life doing whatever it is that you always did. We have to be brave to move forward." Practicing Dhamma is not about overcoming pain in the body. We're not there to be victorious over any feeling. Our duty with respect to feelings is to know them
not eliminate them or beat them.
What is this knowing? We know that the feeling is there, or sensation is there. It is suffering because it is one of the five components or aggregates of body and mind, which are all suffering. Our duty with respect to suffering is to know it. How do we know suffering, or in this case, how do we know the physical sensations? We know physical sensations are not the mind, are not us, but something that come in to the body, not the body either, they come into the body. They're not, sensations are not the body, they're not the mind that sees, they're not the feelings in the heart. A lot of people think if they can sit there with pain until the pain goes away and then, ha ha ha, I win. He said some people laughed at that, but laughed in a way that they felt guilty. See, the Buddha's Dhamma is enlightened wisdom. It's not something that we can discover on our own. It isn't samatha only that other people could do before the Buddha. Now, vipassana is the Buddha's subject that we have to learn. A lot of people, and we're after in vipassana, what we're after is wisdom. But most of us think that wisdom means reading books and gaining knowledge that comes through by way of thought. We think that we have wisdom if we have lots of information, like professors. But the knowledge that they have is they're able to remember and reference all kinds of things, which is just really just memory. It isn't real truth. Buddhist wisdom is different. When we're the wisdom by hearing or reading, or the wisdom by thinking, we're just in some old framework. It's just all old stuff, old conditions. Thoughts and memory, they're not the truth. They're not reality. To see reality, we have to come to see what is really going on. We have to be face to face and know how the mind is. Like we feel within this body and we feel within this mind, we become aware and see, is this body suffering or is this body a happy, comfortable thing? We might have thought that it was happy, but we'll take a look and see that even the breath is something that's suffering. Keep breathing in, for example. Just breathe in and breathe in. Keep breathing in, don't breathe out. Let me know if this is happy or not. It's suffering, right? Now breathe out, breathe out, breathe out, breathe out. Keep breathing out, don't breathe in. Keep breathing out. Don't stop. Not allowed to breathe in. Is this happy or is this suffering? See, we have oppression happening always with every breath. We're relieving the suffering of breathing in by breathing out. We're relieving the suffering of breathing out by breathing in. Why is it that when we sit, we get sore, and then we got to get up and walk? When we start walking too much, we get sore, we have to sit or lie down. We lie down in one position, then we got to shift positions. Suffering is oppressing the body all the time. we watch the body and we'll see that the body isn't anything special like we thought it was. The body is something that is a mass of suffering, and soon the body will be elderly. The body gets ill, but a mind that has practiced correctly won't suffer along with the failing body. Why not? Because the body is suffering. So what's it to us if suffering gets ill or suffering dies? If we see that the body is suffering, then why would we want it? Why would we expect it to feel good or to stay alive or to not get ill? We can see that the mind is something that is changing all the time. One moment it's good, the next moment it's bad. When it feels good, it feels not good. We see that all these things are impermanent. This is what we're practicing to see, that everything that arises always also falls away. So we come and see the truth of this. The truth will teach us. When happiness arises, we don't have to do anything about it. We can just see that it comes, and certainly it's going to go away. Now, if suffering arises in the heart and mindfulness sees it, it will disappear immediately. It's different than happiness. Happiness, when mindfulness sees it, may not disappear. It's because happiness is a neutral phenomenon. It's not unwholesome. But any unwholesome mind, such as greed, anger, and delusion, will disappear. Any impurity will disappear, or a suffering feeling will disappear. When mindfulness sees it. See, happiness doesn't have to fall away immediately. Happiness may arise with mindfulness. Actually, the truth of happiness, when the mind is moral, or when the mind is wholesome, the truth about happiness is that it is falling, arising and falling away very quickly. However, it rises and falls so fast, and comes up again and comes up again, and arises and falls so quickly that it appears that it's being sustained. But actually, like all phenomena, it is arising and falling very quickly. We can see that the mind itself is something that is impermanent. One moment it is the aware observer, the next moment it is lost in thought. If we're able to watch the heart and the mind, then we should watch the heart and the mind. This is because all emotions, all mental formations, all happen in the heart. And Dhamma, when it is realized, happens in the heart. So we should practice watching the mind if we can. At any time that we're not able to effectively see the mind, then we can watch the body. So there are three steps or three principles in watching the mind. The three don'ts. The first of the don'ts when watching the mind is don't watch in advance. Don't focus in to see what's coming next. What will happen is nothing will come next. And they'll think when they're effectively focusing to see what's going to happen next in the mind, all they see is an emptiness. The mind gets lost in this empty place and isn't able to walk the path of wisdom. So instead what we do is we allow our body and mind to work naturally. We let the senses see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. In fact, we can't really choose what it is that we see in most cases. And we can't decide what we feel with regards to what we see. For example, we open our eyes and there's a beautiful lady that passes by. Our heart comes to like it. Or we open our eyes and then this dangerous-looking dog is moving towards us. And we don't like it, or we feel fear. We can't control what it is that arises in the heart. We let it arise naturally. We'll start to see the workings, the natural workings of the mind. When this stimulus comes in, the mind gets busy. And this stimulus comes in, there's liking. This stimulus comes in, there's not liking. Seeing the causes and effects. But we don't watch in advance. We don't wait for what comes next. We just let the feeling come up naturally in life, and then we see that it is there after it has arisen. So we have to be brave enough in order to allow the mind to move and work naturally. Those that are cowards will stand, sit there watching. What's going to come up? What's going to come up? Not brave enough, not having the courage to allow themselves to feel bad, to suffer. Some people practice and try and keep their eyes closed all the time. Keep their ears closed, don't want to hear anything. We don't have to try and be a blind person or a deaf person. We are, everyone here is a complete human being with the ability to see and to hear. So the eyes see, the ears hear, and then if pleasant or unpleasant feelings happen in the heart, if a good or bad mental state arises in the heart, then see that it is there. So that's the first don't, is do not wait for something to happen. Don't watch in advance. The second don't is don't send the mind out to grasp or cling to any of the phenomena that arise. So when watching the mind, we can see the feelings, pleasant or unpleasant. We can see the mind going off to think. We can see the different mental fabrications, mental states and emotions that arise, and we can see the mind moving from one thing to the other, to see, to hear, to smell, to think. These are the different things we can see happen, but we don't move in towards any of them when they do. One moment the mind is listening, the next moment it's thinking, the next moment a feeling comes up, the next moment a different mood comes up, the mind shifts and moves from here and there. It's sort of like we can watch this drama happening. If we're watching the body moving, then we watch the body moving, and the mind is the watcher. The body moves, the mind is the watcher. This is practicing Gaya Upasana Satipatthana, which is the mindfulness of the body. If we are watching the pleasant and unpleasant feelings, then that is Vedana Upasana. Jita Nupasana is watching the mind, seeing the different emotions that come up in the mind or in the heart, seeing the different mental states as well. For example, delusion or being lost in thought. we see that it happens. We don't try to stop it from happening. Anger comes up. We don't try to stop it from happening. Anger comes up first, and then we come to see that it is there. We can see that anger is not us. Anger is that which the mind sees. The anger is not us, and the mind that sees it is not us. Like we see something in life, and then greed comes up in our heart. Right? First, greed comes up, then we see that it has come up. So we see after the fact, we become mindful after a phenomena. We don't wait in advance to see a phenomena. When the greed comes up, for example, greed, we will see that the greed is not us, but it is that which the mind was aware of. We can see that whatever impurity arises, that it is a separate phenomena from the mind. There's the mind, and then there is that which it sees or observes. That there are two separate things. There isn't an us there. The example of the car, where we dismantle the car into all the pieces, the steering wheel, the tires, the engine, the gas tank, the headlights. None of these things, when we dismantle it, are the car. There's no self of, there's no car self there. It's completely gone. It's just a bunch of pieces. We're able to do the same thing with our body and mind. The body is one piece. The pleasant and unpleasant feelings is another piece. The memory is another piece. The different wholesome and unwholesome states is another piece. And just the bare awareness or the mind that sees or knows is yet another thing. There won't be any sense of a self, just like there's no sense of a car when it's all dismantled. So if we watch the body, the mind, the body is moving, the mind is the watcher, two separate things, watching the changes of the body. If we're watching the feelings, we can watch the feelings moving and changing, never staying in the same state. We can watch the wholesome and unwholesome states, emotions and mind states that come up and fall away, that none of them are us. Now, but when we see all these things, we should see them all as if we're a spectator from outside. We should see them from outside looking in. It's sort of like if we're watching two wrestlers or two boxers in a ring, right? When we are one of the boxers, it's sort of hard to see how the match is going. It's hard to see where we, what tactic we should take at any particular time. But if we are in the audience, we can see the openings. We can see what this person or that person should do. You see, we have a broader perspective. We can see the truth more clearly than if we're down there in the ring. It's sort of if we're standing on a building as well, another analogy, and we're seeing all the cars going by, right? We can see the different colored cars, we can see how the traffic is moving. But if we stand in the middle of the road to try and see how the traffic is moving or try to see what colors, you know, the cars are and that, it's too difficult moving left and right, up and down, turning around. We don't have that broad perspective to see the truth. So the mind, so the feelings, the mental and emotional states and all these things, let these be the actors in the play. And the mind is the spectator, sort of at a distance and comfortable, noticing the drama of life. Mm-hmm. So once again, these three don'ts when watching the mind. Don't wait. First is don't wait or watch in advance. Let things come up first and then see them in afterwards. The second is to not send the mind down into the drama to take a look, but to allow the mind to see at a distance. The third don't is don't interfere with whatever is going on in the mind. So after we have seen what it is that has arisen in the heart, then we are impartial to it. We don't like it or dislike it. But of course we will like it or dislike it. So our job is just to see the liking or see the disliking. And then if we continue to see the liking and the disliking of the different phenomena, then eventually the mind will no longer interfere with what it is that arises and falls. We'll be able to see clearly, perceive clearly the truth exactly as it is. The mind will be equanimous or impartial. See, if we try to accept the truth with a mind that is still liking this and disliking this, wanting it this way, not wanting it that way, we'll never be able to see and accept the truth of the way things are. We have to have a mind that is over and above and isn't interfering with what is going on. We have to see with a mind that is unbiased to all phenomena that arise and fall. This is watching the mind. These are the rules for watching the mind. One, don't watch in advance. Two, watch as an outside observer. Don't come in. And third, to be not interfering, to see in an equanimous or impartial way, without bias. If we have bias, then we won't see things clearly. We won't be able to see the truth. So let's train the mind to become one that is able to have correct samadhi and is impartial to all phenomenon. It'll be awake, aware, fresh, expansive. So he says this is the theory on how to watch the mind correctly, and that's enough theory for now, but next time he'll talk a little bit more about some theory regarding how to achieve correct. That's how to practice watching the mind, but we have to watch it with a high quality of mind that has correct concentration, and he'll discuss that more next time. He's warning that, of course, we should try and keep the moral precepts, but if ever we say something mean or we harm someone, we should do our best to not think about it again and again, because each time we think about it, we revisit that immorality. It's almost, the heart almost feels like it does it again. And we're repeating the crime. Oh, that's a tough one. Thai jokes, they just don't translate very well. He's kidding with this lady just because she was so formal in the way that she addressed him that he found it kind of funny, you know, and said, yeah, that's a really old style of addressing people. A bit of a Thai culture thing. He says she's so afraid. She says, I just know that I don't have that much time in the day, and I know that most of what I do all day is just things that are just so not useful, not really valuable. And he says, that's normal. We have our daily lives and things we have to do. He says, so instead, you use your valuable time sitting afraid. She's saying she's also scared because she was sleeping. And I locked my door to my room, but it opened. What happened? They're saying, don't be so gullible to believe a bunch of different things. Some people say that they hear ghosts knocking on their windows. They feel they always have to close their light because when they open their light, ghosts knock at their windows in the night. But the truth is just insects are attracted to the light in their room, so insects. And then a gecko will come and eat the insects and it'll sound like it's knocking at the window, that's all. So don't be so gullible. She's not sure if she's knowing by thinking or actually knowing with mindfulness. Because if you're intending to watch or it's just thinking, the mind will be tight or blurry. But if it's true mindfulness, the mind will be light and bright. It'll be a sense of relief, of release. You got to find a way to practice in a way that isn't stressful, practice with a happy heart. If anyone has a question today that hasn't asked in the last 3 months, then you can put your... I'll let you know when it's time to put up your number. It's coming up pretty soon. A reminder that the question is just about your own personal Dhamma practice and its development. Another lady too serious about it. He's We have to let the mind be normal and natural. The only thing that we impose on the mind is don't break the moral code. Don't harm. Still talking about ghosts, basically. Is that our mind can think all kinds of silly things, like if we close the lights, the ghosts will come, but if we open the lights, the ghosts will see us really clearly. The Chai jokes don't translate very well. She's being too paranoid about her moral code. She says, but if I turn on the light, then insects come, and then the geckos will eat them, and then it's my fault that the insects got eaten because I turned on the light. And he's like, all right, you're going a little overboard there. Imagine turning on the light and thinking you're breaking a moral code. And it's too much, struggling too much. Just see in your heart what is there right here and now. If you're worried, know that you're worried. Mind wants to be good, know that it wants to be good. Just see this directly. That's the practice. That is Dhamma practice. It doesn't matter what it is that comes up. It is going to demonstrate the three characteristics. It's going to teach us the three characteristics. If we're practicing, while we're listening to a master teaching, then when the Dhamma that is being spoken isn't, the heart isn't ready for, the heart isn't interested in, the heart will not be listening attentively. It may go into a place of rest or be thinking about something else, but when something that the heart is ready to hear comes up, the mind will become attentive, the heart will be attentive and learn it. So if we see a phenomenon arise, and we see that the phenomenon arises, then if our mind moves towards the phenomenon, then we see the mind move down towards the phenomenon. If we see the mind moving down towards the phenomenon, the mind will then become the stable observer in correct samadhi. We'll be able to see that it'll see in an impartial, it'll see the phenomenon in a partial way, and it'll see that it is not us, that it arises and falls. And the mind itself that moves in to watch a phenomena or mindfulness arises automatically, and the mind becomes the stable observer, that all of that process is something that we couldn't order to happen, but that it happens by itself, that none of these aspects or components are a self. When our mind first makes, or our eyes, when the mind first makes contact with an object, we don't even know what the object is yet. It takes the next moment for us to interpret what it is that has arisen. This is the process or the method that the mind automatically goes through. At first, even when we see something outside of ourselves with the eyes, we don't know what it is at first. First, the eyes just make contact. Then there's an interpretation of what it is and a value judgment over what we see. And if we like it, there may be a happy or a good feeling that comes up, or agreed. And if we don't like it, what we saw, then perhaps a negative or an impurity, a suffering feeling and an impurity of mind will come up. It's just the process that happens, which is independent of a self. It happens on its own. You see, as you're sending in your homework here, everything is about me. Like, I do this and I do that, I do this. He says, your I is quite strong. It's all about what I want and what I'm going to get and how I'm going to get it. You have the wrong attitude. He said, she is not practicing correctly. She's practicing with far too much stress and torturing her body, sitting until it gets so hot and not moving. He says, please do me a favor when you leave this temple. Just don't tell anybody that you're my student. He says, you've practiced other stuff before me and that's what you're doing. He's scared that somebody walking out looking all stressed like that, that people will misunderstand that he teaches people to be tortured in vain. Okay, you can put up your number now if you have a question.
19
It's like we have 10 minutes left. And there are way too many numbers. He's asking, he says, those that can come here easily, we're going to start again. Those who can come easily. He's having those that can come here easily not send in their homework today. Let it be the course, and people that can have a more difficulty of coming.
อยากได้คำแนะนำนะครับ
You're practicing much better, but don't say how he knows that.
Oh, no, no, no.
See, your body and mind are two different things. Your mind is more aware within yourself than before. Mm-hmm. You can see that the different feelings and the mind are two different things. See, you're able to separate out the things that you thought were you. So, this is what it means to be able to practice correctly. So, watch the body moving from here. Watch the body moving, watch the mind doing its workings, the feelings coming and going, and see that none of these things are you. Okay. Lining. 101.
Oh, lining.
Breaking the rules.
Just a quick one. I just wanted to ask him that sometimes when I'm not practicing just in my daily life, I feel that there's an energy in the body, mm-hmm. and at the same time, there's a strong observer, mm-hmm. the guru comes in. So I just wanted to get his input on that.
I feel that there's a strong energy in the body, and I feel that there's a strong observer in the body. And at the same time, yeah.
Yeah,
it's true, you have some energy.
See that the body isn't you, the feelings aren't you. See that the mind is working by itself. You're doing well. 64 โดดได้ครับไม่อีกรอบไม่ต้องครับ
ไอ้พวกที่ย
ังเห
ล
ือที่
ม
ี118
คนอะไร
น
ี้เลย The 108 108
Can you see your face? He wants to see your face. You can't see through the poles. Okay, you can put your face away now. แค่อยากได้คำแนะนำจากหลวงพ่อครับจากครั้งที่แล้วที่เข้ามาดีขึ้น Yeah, it's getting better. Just don't think too much. You're thinking too much about what's right and what's wrong. Yeah, just know what there is right there and then. That's all you have to do. Okay.He says if we're practicing and the body is falling asleep, it's okay. Specifically in her case, just let it fall asleep. You don't have to keep fighting and fighting. That's torture. If the body needs rest, then let it rest. A lot of people ask him for forgiveness if they have ever wronged him. He says, none of you have ever come up and whacked me or punched me. I don't know why you guys keep asking for my forgiveness.
ที่หนูทำสมาธิเพื่อได้พลังกับ ความรู้กายรู้ใจอะค่ะเราจะรู้ได้ยังไงว่าจะให้สมดุลนะคะ
ตอนแรกสมดุลแล้วหรือถ้าสมาธิไม่พอหรือฟุ้งซ่านถึงไปจะใจเรื่องถ้าสมาธิมากไปมีขี้เกียจนิ่งซื่อบื้ออยู่มันก็ไม่ได้ซื่อบื้อตอนนี้สมดุลนะ
หรือลูกที่จะตามรู้กายรู้ใจมากไปหรือเปล่า
พอดีนะแต่อย่าไปโลภอยากได้ผลนะ
So we can sense, regarding samatha, we can sense that there's sometimes that there's too much samatha element in our practice. If we're looking to walk the path of wisdom and we feel lazy to do it, we just want to hold a nice comfortable spot. We're in a nice comfortable place and we just want to stay there and we don't want to see the greed.That's there. We don't want to see the comfort. We might be doing. We might not have the correct balance between samatha and vipassana. In the other case, if we're just trying to continue to observe and watch the mind, then we really can't. We're really in a bit of a blur. We can't really see anything clearly. Then we have the wrong balance in the other direction. Too much wisdom practice, not enough samatha. Says it's been 3 months and I'm sending in my homework again. His mom is sitting, he knows the men, and his mom is sitting next to him. He says, you know, your mom practices better than you do. Her mind is bright and light. He says, I think I can separate the five aggregates, but I'm not really sure. Am I just thinking?So myself, he says, no, you're not thinking it, you can see it. His mind's a little bit too busy, it's not quite comfortable enough, he should do a little bit of samatha practice. He used to separate the body and mind, but Longpa said that he was doing it too intentionally and it was too tight, too rigid, unnatural. Is it better now? Longpa says you still have a strong desire leading the practice. You have to be able to see that desire.He says, what does it mean when the mind is awake? He says, the mind that is awake has wisdom, has no intention for it to arise, and it has sama samadhi, correct samadhi. It is gentle, light, bright, agile, and sees clearly and directly what phenomena is there without laziness. He says that if you're worried about what you're going to be in your next life, if you're able to separate the aggregates, if the aggregates are separate when you die, there's no way that you'll enter into a negative realm. This is according to commentaries or scriptures. But he said, all that means is this: the next life. But if you still have a lot of negative karma from before, who knows about the life after it? But you may be able to delay the inevitable. Oh. He said, Longpa, you are the Buddha. He's like, no, I'm not. Don't say that. She's been practicing for 3 months. He says, wow, only 3 months? You're doing quite well. You can see the body and mind are two different things. Can you feel that? Maybe, sometimes. Yeah, that's it. We only see it sometimes. We don't see it all the time. See the body and mind working. If there's anything we like, don't like or don't like, don't interfere. Can you see that you interfere? Just see in a relaxed way, impartial way. She listens to his CDs. She lives far away. He says, that's fine. She says she hears his voice and she feels relaxed. And he says, uh-oh, am I an addictive drug for you? She's able to see liking, disliking. She's able to see her mind going into focus and her mind going off to think. She had an experience where her mind and the whole world separated and could see that the mind wasn't the world. And as soon as the mind would come back into the world, there was the me that came up. She said, you got some wisdom there, true wisdom, but not enlightenment, not enlightening wisdom. Can you feel that when you talk about yourself, when you say the word me or I, that you feel there really is an I or a me when you say that word? You see that you haven't enlightened a stream entry yet. One day, when we practice correctly, we enlightening wisdom comes up, and that feeling of I goes away forever. If we're still disliking phenomena, then we'll never be equanimous, we'll never enlighten. If we're still rejecting or refusing what arises. She was just, like many of them, offering her practice to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, to the Sangha, to Lungpa, and wanting to share the merits of it with all beings. Talking about a profound concept about the asava gilesa. If anybody's interested later, I can explain it. But for now, it would take too long.
ที่เรามีที่มาเข้ามาได้เนี่ยเราจะนอนสบายไม่เครียดดีใช้ได้89นะเอาที่ดีกว่าเลยเวลาแล้วครับไอ้ที่ปิดต้องกลับไปก่อนเชิญเลย
ย้อนกลับนั่น
นั่นเองไม่ไม่จะอยากจะพูดบอกไปได้จะปาหลายคนคนนี้ให้เราสอนว่าดีแต่ถ้าเกิดเราเสียงเราเลือกตั้งเพราะว่า
ง่ายมาก
ง่ายแหลกคอ
ดูให้ผู้นำใจที่ไม่ชอบนะครับใจไม่สบายใจเกลียดถ้าเรารู้ทันความเกลียดดับไปใจก็สงบทันทีให้รู้ว่าใจเกลียดไม่ใช่เกิดใจจริงรู้ทันใจไม่ชอบใจอยากดีใจอยากเข้าตาใจอยากสงบรู้ทันใจที่อยากไม่อยากต้องการสิ่งที่ไม่ดีอยากให้มีสิ่งที่ดีถ้ารู้ทันถึงใจได้ก็พอดีพอดีเข้าที่อย่าให้ติดเข้าที่นะแค่รู้สภาวะที่เกิดขึ้นจริงๆรู้ความรู้สึกของจิตจริงๆก็เข้าที่แล้วสามก็เป็นไปแล้ว
น้ำมันการของเราตอนนี้มันรู้สึกสบายครับไม่ได้ทำอะไรไปวัน
So we're way in overtime here. He said it's okay because he doesn't have monks to teach today. Usually he has monks afterwards. He's just trying to get her to relax out of the phenomena she's stuck in and become the stable observer. When we are true Dhamma practitioners, when life gets difficult and there's difficulties, we can see that our practice, we can see the development of our practice. We don't mind negative situations that much because we can see that we become more mature, our heart is developing. We're able to see the impurities that come up when everything is nice and fine. Sometimes we don't see the impurities as clearly.
ว่าเราจะสบายดีแล้วด้วยถ้าหนูไม่ป่วยก็จะอยู่อย่างนี้
She said that in the past he said she was attached to the observer, she wouldn't let it go, holding it up over her head. Do you know yet that what you were doing is wrong? You wasted years. She feels like her samadhi is worse than it used to be. He says, no, it's just because now it's momentary. You let it go, and then it can come back, and you let it go, and it can come back. It's not being helped. Regarding our meditation or samatha, if we want to achieve deep concentration, the mind has to be sweet and the smile sweet and the heart relaxed. If we're sitting there wanting to enter samadhi, there's no chance that we're going to enter it. See, there is aversion still there in her mind, and so of course she can't enter deep concentration or jhana. She's trying to go into deep concentration. He's like, hey, you don't force it, and you don't force to go deep within yourself. It just, the mind just drops out of sense perception right here, just sitting right here, and then he demonstrated it for her. But she said, I can't see it. He's saying, see that the body and mind are two different things, see that the feelings and the mind are two different things. Is there 118 that wanted to send in their homework? Oh. This student says he noticed that when his mind is really busy, he just sees directly, clearly, yes, the mind is busy, and then it disappears. Lompa says, that's great, that's what we have to do. Most people, when the mind is busy, they're looking around, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do? Just see what's there. Oh, one more person. She's asking on behalf of her shy friend beside her. Says she's practicing just fine. No need to worry about anything. You don't have any problems. Just keep watching. Says everyone in the course, you don't have to go home, just go back to the resort. Because at first he said, everybody, you're welcome to go home now, but not the people in the course.